this week we have had an opportunity to reflect on different dimensions of the cross. Sunday's readings were certainly about this. We heard about the suffering servant who is not put to shame. He suffers, but he's not defeated. Jesus identified himself as that servant by prophesying his own passion, death, and resurrection. Then, of course, we had on Tuesday the great feast of the exaltation of the cross. And yesterday, the lady, our mother, who stood with him at the foot of the cross. And these liturgical celebrations have given us this opportunity to see how big the mystery of the cross is and how central it is. It shows, as I tried to explain, two sides, what we could call the negative side and the positive side. It certainly shows, on the negative side, it certainly shows the problem of sin, the ugliness of sin, the seriousness of sin. So if anybody, and this is a common attitude nowadays, if anybody says, well, sin, I mean, come on, that's no big deal. It doesn't really matter that much what you do or what you think. Well, try telling that to Jesus on the cross. It doesn't make any difference what I did. It obviously does make a difference. It makes a difference to God. So the cross exposes sin. But on the positive side, the cross also reveals victory over sin, the beauty of mercy, the beauty of divine love. So if anybody's taking the opposite extreme, saying, I'm such a terrible sinner, I'm cut off from God, I can never be saved, I can never be redeemed. Well, try telling that to Jesus on the cross. And he'll say, wait a minute, look at how much I am loving you. Don't think that you're defeated when I'm the one winning the victory for you. So that's the beauty, the beautiful side of the cross. And we saw yesterday in our Blessed Mother, both the deep sorrow, the deep wound, the piercing of her heart because of sin, and also the fruitfulness of her remaining with Christ. Well, this is this sort of thing that Jesus is always trying to make known to the people and to us. And in today's gospel, we have this striking contrast between Simon the Pharisee and the woman who is a sinner. So here's Jesus. You know, Jesus likes to eat. He likes to eat with people. He even has a reputation for eating with sinners, tax collectors, prostitutes, sinners. The Pharisees usually tried to use that as an accusation against him. But in this case, it's a Pharisee who's invited him, and Jesus goes to eat with a Pharisee. So Jesus is not prejudiced against Pharisees. He'll go to their house too, if he's invited. So Simon invites him to the house, probably thinking this is an opportunity to see who this Jesus is and maybe talk about some religious stuff, do some holy things. Well, along comes this woman, whom everybody identifies as a sinner. We're not given her name. It's as if sinner is her name. That's how she's identified. She's a sinner. And you can imagine Simon the Pharisee thinking, oh, this, this ruins it. Here's someone who's unclean. She comes walking into my house. She touches my guest. It defiles this holy dinner we're having. Well, I think Jesus delighted in this. He delighted in this, and not only because he saw the inner beauty of this woman, who's very obvious that she's experienced a deep conversion, and is a grateful person now And that's very beautiful. So not only the beauty of the woman herself, but I think Jesus also delighted in the opportunity to be able to expose his mission or reveal his mission to someone like Simon the Pharisee, who he's a very hard person to get through to. How do you instruct a guy like Simon? Well, this woman comes along as a perfect example. So Jesus uses this occasion and he tells this parable about two people who owe money to a creditor. Jesus uses this kind of parable a lot, comparing to two people, two sons, the tax collector and the Pharisee. I think of the prodigal son case. That's probably the most famous. Older brother, younger brother, and then setting up the contrast. Well, here he sets up, in this case, the contrast is not between a good person and a bad person, someone who doesn't owe anything and someone who owes a lot. They both owe. Someone owes more than the other, but they're both in debt. It's a brilliant way of revealing to Simon his situation. He's not as holy and perfect as he thinks. He owes money to the creditor, meaning to God. Simon is preoccupied with the big debt of that sinful woman, but he doesn't think of himself as being a sinner. So Jesus uses the parable and says, okay, one owes 500 days wages. That's a lot of money. The other one owes 50 days wages. That's also a lot of money. Not as much, it's one-tenth as much, but it's still a debt. You try paying off 50 days wages. That's a lot of money. According to the parable, neither one of them can pay, and the creditor forgives them both. Isn't that a beautiful image of what God does? He doesn't count up how big or how small our debt is. We're in debt and we can't pay. We all are. He sees we can't pay. So he forgives the debt. How does he do it? Well, that's what we celebrated on Tuesday, the cross. He pays the price. He doesn't just forget about it as if it's not important. He says, no, this is expensive. This is a very expensive, but I'm going to pay the big expense. I'll take the loss. So it's not a minimizing of the debt. It's not a trivialization of sin. It's a extraordinary generosity on the part of God. So Jesus sets up the parable. Which one of these two, Simon, which one of these two do you think will love the creditor more? Who will be more grateful? And Simon says, well, the one who was forgiven more, of course. Sure. Now, apply it to this situation. Here's a woman who has been forgiven much and she loves more than you do. Simon, here's somebody who you look down on who is surpassing you in love. Someone who you think shouldn't even be here, who becomes an example for you. You see why Jesus would appreciate this? I mean, he didn't ask the woman to come in and wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with her hair. He would never make a demand like that or even request it, even think of it. But when she does it out of the beauty, out of the spontaneous gratitude in her own heart, he sees it as an opportunity. This woman loves more. Now, let's connect this to the message of Sunday and of Tuesday and Wednesday about the cross. Jesus said we cannot be a disciple unless we deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. Mary denied herself, took up the cross, and followed him all the way. Here's a woman, this sinful woman, who was... Now, she was a sinner. We don't have to know more than that. She was caught in sin. She was in an impossible situation. Her reputation is ruined. There's no hope for her. And yet, she finds herself given an extraordinary gift, and she welcomes it. She doesn't want to be like, she didn't want to be caught in sin. She didn't want to be like that. She just couldn't do anything about it. After we sin, what can we do? How do you get out of it? So Jesus gave her a way out, and she accepted it. So she picked up her cross, the cross of her own sin, of the cross of what people think of her, the cross of the burden that she carries in her own flesh, and she followed Jesus. She denied herself, she left sin behind, she repented, she picked up the cross, she followed Jesus. And this is what we are all invited to do, called to do. We have to accept the burden of our sin condition. We have to admit we are sinners and we are in debt. Maybe because of what we inherited from our first parents, maybe because of what we got from our family or culture, maybe because of our own foolishness, weakness, pride, whatever. We are in debt, and we can't just pretend it's not that way. We have to carry that cross. But that is not a condemnation. When Jesus says, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me, he's not condemning us to endless suffering and humiliation. He's giving us a way out, a way forward, a way of love. So this woman, whatever her problems were and are, and whatever her reputation is, she allows God to transform her into a witness. She's an example of a sinner. Well, we're all examples of sinners. That's no accomplishment. But now she's an example of someone who's saved, redeemed, grateful, and loving. And that's what, that does not come automatically. So that's what we're asked to do. Follow the example of this woman. Not be like Simon. Not be caught up in arrogance and judgment. Not caught up in despair either, or hopelessness. No, our hope is in the cross. Our hope is in the mercy of God. And we are invited to rejoice, to be able to take up our cross, follow Jesus, and live as witnesses of those who are forgiven.